Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be looking at something that's pretty close to home for all of you in healthcare.
Okay.
The hidden costs of lifelong learning, and you know, something we don't always talk about.
Right.
But beyond all the excitement of new discoveries and new advancements in medicine, there's a whole other side to this journey.
Yeah, it's true. Lifelong learning is essential in healthcare. We all know that.
Absolutely.
But the sources that you've shared for this deep dive, they really shed light on the often overlooked burdens that come with it.
Yeah.
The financial burdens and the emotional burdens. It's not just about keeping up with the latest research, but the impact that it has on your wallet and your well-being.
Exactly. And I mean, just think about it for a second. Long shifts, nights, weekends, the constant pressure to stay updated.
Yeah.
It's all part of the package, right?
Yeah.
But then you add in the financial strain of courses and conferences and, you know, certifications that are constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
It can feel like a really uphill battle.
Yeah. And the financial piece is huge. One source actually talks about having to put off a crucial cardiology certification course because of the cost.
Oh.
And I think that's a dilemma that a lot of healthcare professionals face, even those with decent salaries.
Right.
We often think of healthcare as a well-compensated field.
For sure.
But, you know, when you factor in student loans, living expenses, mm-hmm. and then the ever-increasing cost of continuing education, it's no wonder that people are struggling.
Yeah, it's this hidden pressure that nobody really acknowledges.
Yeah.
You're expected to stay at the top of your game, but you're kind of left to figure out how to foot the bill for all of it yourself.
Exactly.
And it's not just the direct cost either, right?
No, absolutely. Think about like the indirect costs. Time away from work.
Yeah.
Potentially losing income to attend a conference. Yeah. The cost of childcare if you have kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, not every employer offers support like tuition reimbursement, which can make it even tougher.
Yeah, that lack of support from employers really stood out to me in these sources.
Mm.
It's almost like this silent expectation that healthcare professionals should just figure it out on their own.
Right.
And that's where the whole burnout thing starts to kind of creep in, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You're already juggling a demanding job,
yeah,
family responsibilities, and trying to have at least some sort of personal life.
Right.
And then on top of all of that, you're supposed to find the time and the money to keep learning,
right,
often at your own expense.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for exhaustion, both mentally and financially.
Yeah, and this isn't just hypothetical, is it?
No.
These sources paint a very real picture of the consequences.
That's right. One source mentions a colleague, a brilliant nurse with years of experience who was forced to leave their dream job in critical care because the pressure of constantly upskilling on top of their already demanding work schedule just became too much.
Wow.
They just couldn't keep up financially or emotionally, and that's a story that we hear all too often.
Yeah.
Talented, passionate individuals burning out because the system doesn't adequately support their need for continuous learning.
It's heartbreaking. It really makes you wonder, why aren't we talking about this more?
Yeah.
Why is there this unspoken expectation that healthcare professionals should just shoulder this burden alone?
It's a complex issue, and there's no easy answer.
Sure.
But I think these sources are a really good starting point for a much-needed conversation.
For sure.
By acknowledging these hidden costs.
Right.
Both the financial and emotional toll.
Yeah.
We can start to look for solutions, and that's what we'll be exploring in the next part of our deep dive, how to find a sustainable balance between the demands of lifelong learning and your own well-being.
So we've established there's a problem here.
Right.
The demands of lifelong learning are creating some real burdens for healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into potential solutions, I want to make sure we're all on the same page about what some of these terms actually mean.
Okay.
For example, we keep mentioning tuition reimbursement. What exactly does that entail?
True.
And how common is it in healthcare?
That's a great question. Tuition reimbursement is basically a benefit that some employers offer to help cover the cost of continuing education.
Okay.
So it might cover a portion or even the full cost of courses, conferences, or certification programs.
Got it.
Unfortunately, it's not as common as it should be in healthcare.
Right.
And even when it is offered, there are often limitations and restrictions.
So if you're lucky enough to work for an employer who offers it, tuition reimbursement can be a huge help.
Yeah.
But what about the many healthcare professionals who don't have that option?
Right.
What are some other ways they can ease the financial burden?
Wow.
The sources mention scholarships and grants. Can you tell us more about those?
Of course, scholarships and grants are essentially financial awards that you don't have to repay.
Okay.
They can be a fantastic way to fund your education,
yeah,
especially if you're facing significant financial constraints. Mm-hmm. There are many organizations, foundations, and even professional associations that offer scholarships and grants specifically for healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
The key is to do your research and see what's available.
That's great advice. But research takes time.
Yeah.
Something that most healthcare professionals are already short on.
I know.
So how can we make this process less daunting? Any tips for efficiently finding and applying for these opportunities?
Definitely. Start by thinking about your specific needs and goals.
Okay.
What kind of learning are you looking to pursue? Are you focused on a particular specialty or skill set?
Mm-hmm.
Once you have a clear idea of what you're looking for, you can start targeting your search.
So it's about being strategic, not just randomly Googling healthcare scholarships.
Exactly. Check with your professional organizations. Look for online databases that specialize in healthcare scholarships, and don't underestimate the power of networking. Talk to your colleagues, mentors, and even professors. They might know about opportunities that you haven't come across yet.
Okay, so that's financial assistance.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the other side of the equation?
Mm-hmm.
The time crunch and the feeling of being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
How do you even begin to manage that?
Yeah, that's where the concept of prioritizing comes in. One of the sources suggests that instead of trying to do it all, focus on what's most important right now. You don't have to be an expert in every single area of healthcare. Think about your current role, your career goals, and the skills or knowledge that will have the most immediate impact on your practice.
So it's about being selective and choosing learning opportunities that align with your specific needs and goals.
Exactly.
But even then, finding the time can feel impossible.
Yeah.
We're all busy, and healthcare is a 24/7 field.
I hear you. And that's why it's so important to have realistic expectations and to give yourself permission to say no sometimes. You can't be everything to everyone and you can't learn everything at once.
That's easier said than done though, right?
I know.
There's often this pressure to say yes to every opportunity, to stay ahead of the curve, to be the go-to person for everything.
I understand that feeling, but here's what I've learned from experience. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Right.
If you're constantly pushing yourself to the limit, you'll eventually reach a breaking point. And that's not good for you, your patients, or your colleagues.
So what's the alternative?
Well,
how do we break free from this cycle of burnout and create a more sustainable approach to lifelong learning?
That's what we'll dive into in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll explore practical strategies for managing your time, setting boundaries, and most importantly, prioritizing your own well-being.
I like it.
Because ultimately, taking care of yourself is the best way to ensure you can continue providing excellent care to your patients.
Great. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about prioritizing your own well-being as a healthcare professional.
Yeah.
Trying to navigate all the demands of lifelong learning.
Right.
And honestly, it's a message I think we all need to hear, myself included.
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up in that go, go, go mentality of healthcare.
For sure.
But these sources really drive home the point that self-care isn't a luxury. It's a necessity.
Yeah.
It's the foundation for everything else. Your ability to learn, grow, and provide the best possible care to your patients.
Okay, so self-care is important. We get it.
Right.
But what does that actually look like in practice?
Right.
How do you prioritize your well-being when you're already juggling a million things?
One of the sources offers a really helpful framework, I think, for thinking about this.
Okay.
It suggests breaking down self-care into three key areas: physical, mental, and emotional.
Okay.
And let's start with the physical. This is about taking care of your basic needs.
Okay.
Sleep, nutrition, exercise.
Yeah.
I know it sounds simple, but it's amazing how often these things get pushed aside when we're busy and stressed.
Especially in healthcare, where long shifts and unpredictable schedules are kind of the norm. You might grab a quick coffee and a donut on the run.
Exactly.
But actually sitting down to a healthy meal, forget about it.
Exactly. And yet those seemingly small things can have a huge impact on your energy levels, your mood, and your ability to focus. One of the sources actually suggests setting like a timer on your phone to remind yourself to take breaks. Even just for 5 minutes to stretch, grab a glass of water, or just step outside for some fresh air.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
It's like building micro moments of self-care into your day.
Right.
Even when you feel like you don't have a spare second.
Exactly.
But what about the mental and emotional aspects of self-care?
Yeah.
How do you take care of your mind when constantly bombarded with information demands and the emotional weight of caring for others.
This is where mindfulness and stress reduction techniques come in.
Okay.
It could be something as simple as deep breathing exercises, meditation, or even just taking a few minutes to disconnect from technology and just be fully present in the moment.
Yeah.
One of the sources talks about the benefits of journaling as a way to process your thoughts and emotions.
Interesting.
It's like having the safe space to unload all the mental clutter that accumulates throughout the day.
That's so interesting. I've never thought of journaling as a form of self-care.
Yeah.
But it makes so much sense. It's like giving yourself permission to acknowledge and process all the things you're holding inside.
Right.
But what about those of us who aren't naturally inclined towards journaling or meditation?
Yeah.
Are there other ways to achieve that same sense of mental clarity and emotional release?
Absolutely. It's about finding what works for you.
Okay.
For some people, it might be spending time in nature, listening to music, or pursuing a creative hobby.
Right.
The key is to identify activities that help you de-stress, recharge, and reconnect with yourself.
So it's not about forcing yourself to do something you hate just because it's considered good for you.
Right.
It's about finding what brings you joy and makes you feel more grounded and centered.
Exactly.
But let's be real. Even with the best intentions, it's easy for self-care to fall by the wayside when you're feeling overwhelmed and exhausted.
Yeah.
How do you actually make it a priority when there's always something else demanding your attention?
One of the sources suggests treating self-care like any other important appointment. Schedule it into your day. Put it on your to-do list. Hold yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
It might feel strange at first, but the more you do it, the more natural it becomes.
So then like shifting your mindset.
Right.
Viewing self-care not as an indulgence, but as an essential part of your overall well-being and professional effectiveness.
Right.
But what about the external factors that contribute to burnout?
Yeah.
How do we address the systemic issues that make it so difficult for healthcare professionals to prioritize their own needs?
That's a crucial question. And honestly, it's a conversation that needs to happen at a much broader level.
Yeah.
Involving policymakers, healthcare administrators, and even the general public.
Yeah.
We need to create a culture that values and supports the well-being of healthcare professionals.
That sounds great in theory, but what does that actually look like in practice?
Yeah.
How do we move beyond vague notions of support and create tangible changes that make a real difference?
One of the sources offers some concrete suggestions. For example, it talks about the need for more flexible work schedules, protected time for learning and professional development, and even access to mental health resources specifically tailored to the needs of healthcare professionals.
Those are all fantastic ideas.
Oh, yeah.
But let's be honest, it's going to take a lot of effort and advocacy to implement these changes on a widespread scale.
Yeah.
In the meantime, what can individual healthcare professionals do to create a more supportive environment for themselves and their colleagues?
That's where the power of community comes in. One of the sources talks about the importance of peer support.
Okay.
Connecting with colleagues who understand the unique challenges of working in healthcare and creating a space for open and honest conversations about burnout self-care and the struggles of lifelong learning.
So it's about building a network of support. A tribe of people who get it, who can offer encouragement, share resources, and help you navigate the ups and downs of this demanding but incredibly rewarding profession.
Yeah.
But what about those who might feel isolated or hesitant to reach out? Where can they find that sense of community?
There are so many wonderful organizations and online communities dedicated to supporting healthcare professionals.
Wow.
Some are focused on specific specialties, while others offer more general space for connection and sharing.
Okay.
A quick Google search can uncover a wealth of resources.
Mm.
And don't underestimate the power of social media. There are countless groups and forums where healthcare professionals connect, share their experiences, and offer each other support.
It's amazing to see how technology can be used to foster these connections, especially for those who might feel isolated or overwhelmed.
Right.
But I'm also curious, how do we ensure these online spaces are truly supportive and inclusive?
Yeah.
How do we avoid the negativity and judgment that can sometimes creep into online interactions?
That's such an important point. It's all about creating a culture of respect, empathy, and kindness.
Right.
We need to be mindful of the language we use, the tone we set, and the way we interact with each other.
Yeah.
It's about remembering that everyone is on their own journey facing their own unique challenges.
and that a little bit of compassion and understanding can go a long way.
Exactly.
So before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, the idea of advocating for systemic change.
Right.
It's easy to feel powerless in the face of such large-scale issues.
Yeah.
But these sources suggest that even small actions can make a difference.
Absolutely. One voice might feel small, but when we come together, our collective voice can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
It starts with raising awareness,
okay,
having conversations with colleagues,
mm-hmm,
and sharing your own experiences.
And then taking it a step further, reaching out to your elected officials, advocating for policies that support healthcare professionals, and demanding better working conditions and resources.
Mm-hmm.
It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in creating a more sustainable and supportive future for healthcare.
Beautifully said. And I think that leads perfectly into the final part of our deep dive,
okay,
where we'll explore some concrete steps you can take to advocate for change, both within your own workplace and in the broader healthcare system.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the hidden costs of lifelong learning in healthcare. We've talked about a lot, you know, from the financial burdens to the emotional toll of burnout. And we even talked about self-care and building a supportive community.
Right.
But now I really want to know, like, what can we actually do to create lasting change?
Yeah, you're right. It's time to shift gears from those individual strategies to more systemic solutions.
Okay.
We've talked about the need for supportive policies and a culture that values the well-being of healthcare professionals.
For sure.
But how do we actually make that happen?
Yeah.
Well, these sources, they offer some really intriguing ideas.
Okay. One of the things that really stood out to me was this concept of protected time for learning.
Yeah.
It's mentioned in several of the sources,
mm-hmm,
as a key factor in reducing burnout and making lifelong learning more sustainable.
For sure.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. Protected time for learning means having dedicated hours built into your work schedule specifically for professional development.
Okay.
So this isn't time that you have to squeeze in between patients or after a long shift.
Right.
It's time that's recognized and valued by your employer as essential to your role.
So it's not just about saying, oh, yeah, you should definitely keep learning.
Right.
But actually providing the time and space for it to happen.
Exactly.
Without adding to the already overloaded schedules of healthcare professionals.
Precisely. And this protected time could be used for a variety of activities, from attending conferences and workshops to reading journal articles, pursuing online courses, or even engaging in peer-to-peer learning sessions.
Wow.
The key is that it's time that's specifically dedicated to professional growth.
Right.
Not just catching up on administrative tasks or covering for a colleague.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
But how realistic is it to expect healthcare facilities that are already often short-staffed and facing tight budgets,
yeah,
to actually implement something like this?
It's definitely a challenge, but not an insurmountable one.
Okay.
The sources highlight several examples of hospitals and healthcare systems that have successfully implemented protected time for learning programs.
Interesting.
And what's fascinating is that many of these institutions have actually seen a return on their investment.
Oh, wow.
In the form of increased employee satisfaction, reduced turnover rates, and even improved patient outcomes.
That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
It shows that investing in the professional development of healthcare professionals isn't just the right thing to do.
Right.
It's also good for the bottom line.
Exactly.
But protected time is just one piece of the puzzle, right?
Yeah.
What are some other systemic changes that could make a real difference?
Another key area is financial support. We've already talked about tuition reimbursement scholarships and grants, but the sources also suggest exploring more creative funding models.
Okay.
For example, some healthcare systems are experimenting with professional development stipends that employees can use for a wider range of learning opportunities.
So instead of just covering the cost of traditional courses or conferences,
right,
these stipends can be used for things like online subscriptions, coaching sessions, or even travel expenses to attend specialized workshops.
Exactly.
It's about giving healthcare professionals more flexibility and autonomy in choosing how they want to learn and grow.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that lifelong learning isn't a one-size-fits-all endeavor.
Right.
What works for one person might not work for another, and we need to create systems that support that diversity of learning styles and preferences.
But even with the best systems in place, there's still the issue of culture.
Yeah.
We've talked about the need for a culture that values self-care and prioritizes the well-being of healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you actually shift something as ingrained as the always-on mentality,
right,
that's so prevalent in healthcare?
It starts with leadership.
Okay.
Leaders need to model the behaviors they want to see in their teams. That means taking breaks, setting boundaries, prioritizing their own well-being, and openly acknowledging the importance of lifelong learning. It's about creating a culture where it's okay to say, I need a break, or I'm not taking on any new projects right now.
And it's about celebrating those who do prioritize their well-being,
right?
Not viewing them as weak or less dedicated.
Exactly.
It's about recognizing that a rested, balanced, and continuously learning healthcare professional is ultimately a better healthcare professional.
Precisely. And it's not just about individual leaders. It's about creating a collective sense of responsibility for each other's well-being.
Okay.
One of the sources talks about the concept of peer support networks,
yeah,
where colleagues can check in with each other, offer encouragement, and share resources for managing stress and burnout.
So it's like creating a safety net within the workplace,
mm-hmm,
a space where people feel comfortable being vulnerable and asking for help when they need it.
Exactly.
But it also goes beyond the individual workplace, doesn't it? There's a need for broader societal change as well.
Absolutely. We need to change the way we view and value healthcare professionals.
Okay.
We need to recognize that their well-being is essential to the well-being of our entire society. That means advocating for policies that support fair compensation, reasonable work hours, and access to mental health services.
It's about shifting our perspective from viewing healthcare professionals as superheroes who are expected to sacrifice themselves for the sake of others, to recognizing them as human beings who deserve care and support just like everyone else.
Beautifully said. Oh. And that brings us to the heart of this deep dive.
Yeah.
It's not just about identifying the hidden costs of lifelong learning in healthcare.
Right.
It's about taking action to create a more sustainable and supportive future for everyone involved.
So as we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a question.
Yeah.
What's one small step you can take today,
yeah,
to contribute to this vision? It could be something as simple as checking in with a colleague, sharing a resource about burnout prevention, or even just taking a few minutes for yourself to recharge and refocus.
Remember, even the smallest actions can create ripples of change.
Absolutely.
And when we come together, those ripples can transform into a wave of positive transformation for the entire healthcare system.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We hope it's given you some food for thought and inspired you to take action. Until next time, stay curious, keep learning, and most importantly, take care of yourselves.